Hey, Inside the Mix podcast fans, it's Dream Commander. Follow me or find out more on Bandcamp and Spotify. You are listening to the Inside the Mix podcast. Here's your host, Mark Matthews.
Hello and welcome to the Inside the Mix podcast. I'm Mark Matthews, your host, musician, producer, and mix and mastering engineer. You've come to the right place if you want to know more about your favorite synth music artists, music engineering and production, songwriting, and the music industry. I've been writing, producing, mixing, and mastering music for over 15 years, and I want to share what I've learned with you. Hello, folks, and welcome back to the Inside the Mix podcast. If you are a new listener, welcome, and please do hit that subscribe button. And if you are a returning listener, welcome back. So in this episode, I caught up with the Martin brothers. So I had the opportunity to have a lengthy chat with Nikki and Oliver, the duo that make the Martin brothers from Switzerland. So in this episode, we talk about the story behind the Martin brothers and their family dynamic. We look at their music videos as well and the amazing videos that they put together and how they do it. We also discuss how to come up with a concept for a music video, how you can find a vocalist, and tips for finding the perfect vocalist, and diamonds in the rough. We also talk about the songwriting dynamic and how the two collaborate and work together. And also, a really, really interesting part of this conversation is when we dive into space in an arrangement and leaving space for a vocal, which is pivotal to a very, very high quality mix. And we also look at what makes a good drum progression and what can elevate a drum progression to a high quality output. And then we finish off by talking about their collaboration with Pensacola Mist, a favorite band of the podcast. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. There's plenty to take away from this episode. So I'll stop waffling now and we'll dive straight into the episode with the Martin brothers. Hey, folks, and welcome back to the Inside the Mix podcast. I am very excited today to welcome my guests, the Martin brothers. So they're going to be joining us for this episode. So just a bit of a background before I go into and kick off this episode. So I actually discovered the Martin brothers on Let's Talk Synth Seriously, hosted by UAP. So I was listening to that of a gym, well, in the gym, really, of a Friday morning. And I heard the music and I heard the conversation. I absolutely loved it. And I reached out to you guys to get you on board. And I'm thankful that you agreed to join me today. So how are you, gents? And thanks for joining me.
Great,
yeah.
thanks fantastic. A lot for inviting us. It's always a pleasure to have a nice chat, right?
Well, 100% on a Sunday
on a
as well.
Sunday, yeah. Well, what Sunday? Else can yeah. you do, right?
Oh, today is exactly. Sunday. I don't realize that it's Sunday.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, what better way to spend a Sunday? I always say with these things. It depends on what time zone you're in. Sometimes I talk to people in the States and it's early in the morning and they're sort of just getting up, or in Australia and it's late at night. But for me, it's midday. Where are you joining us from, actually, by the way?
From Switzerland, so it's also Central European time, right?
Yes, indeed.
And indeed. Glad we didn't have to get up early in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, it's a few times I've had to do that. And you could see the person on the other side and they're sort of bleary eyes, just working up. But I'm thankful for them joining me. As I say, yeah, I discovered your music via Rhino and the UAP, so the Let's Talk Synth Seriously podcast. So audience listening, obviously listen to this episode first. But I strongly suggest going and checking out that podcast as well, because he's got a host of episodes on there with some really, really good artists, some really, really good stuff going on there. And I'm sure he won't mind me giving him a shout out as well. So just a bit of background. So I'm going to read this bio I picked off. I think it was your website, or it might be Bandcamp. I can't remember now when I was doing my due diligence for this episode. So you describe yourself on a mission to revitalize the electronic music genre, inspired by your love. Throwing my stuff around, of 80s synth pop. The producer duo delivers memorable beats and melodies with amazing vocals from various artists, which I'm going to touch on a bit later as well, because that is true. And I'd love to know where you find these vocalists. So you're going to share with us sort of the story behind yourself, the duo yourselves, and your approach to music production and songwriting. So I think it'd be quite cool if maybe you could just start off with a bit about your musical background. How did it all begin for the Martin Brothers? I don't know if you want to, when it comes to duos on the podcast, I generally signpost the question to someone to alleviate that sort of, shall I answer, shall I not answer? So, Nikki, do you want to take this one?
Oh, shoot. I thought you'd give it to Oliver. Well, anyway, to cut a long story short, definitely. It really kicked off when I, back in, I don't know, 2007 or maybe a little bit earlier, when I used to work in your country, in United Kingdom, right? So, and obviously music is all over the place there. And I started to play the guitar. And as soon as I came back to Switzerland, I wanted to form a band. And I was thinking of, like, perhaps my sister singing, my oldest brother playing the bass, and Oliver, I was actually planning him for playing the drums. And okay. And everything turned out, you know, differently as life is usually, right? So, but anyway, you know, my sister, you know, she can't sing, unfortunately. and my oldest brother, Michael, you know, he was too busy to playing in a band. So I ended up with Oliver and myself as a duo. And he didn't want to play the drums, so he went for the synths.
Yeah.
Keyboards.
Because it was a bit... you know, a drummer, he needs very fast hands, and I'm not so fast, I'm more slow. That's why I choose the synthesizer.
Yeah, but that's how it started. You know, actually, you know, like forming a band and stuff. Obviously, a lot earlier due to our parents, for instance. I mean, our father. I quite remember that, you know, driving with the car, you know, to, I don't know, some family gig, and he was playing... or, you know, it was came up in the radio, Queen and Dire Straits and all those kind of things, which I guess gave us influences a lot earlier. But, you know, band wise, we formed after visiting the UK.
Fantastic. I love the fact that you kind of, you almost had like a full family band at one point. It's kind of like the Jacksons. obviously not slightly different style of music. There's another family orientated band as well. I can't think of who they are off the top of my head.
Kelly Family.
I've never heard of them. I'm going to make a note. I'll check it out.
Yeah.
It's a German thing. Yeah.
It's a German
thing. That's probably why.
But you know, there are actually a lot of brothers and sisters out there, but probably not a whole family band, I guess. So, but you know, Dire Straits, obviously Mark Knopfler and his brother. I think it was David Knopfler first, but then he left the band because he probably wanted to be the lead singer as well. But you know, there can only be one, and there are a lot of other groups. I can't think of, you know, a lot of it at the moment. Yeah, but you know, there's so many brothers and sisters out there. It's actually fun, yeah.
So, yeah, I like that story. So you started out, so you've got guitars and we've got synths. You wanted to play drums, but yeah, I know what you mean with coordination. I'm a guitarist myself, and I've tried playing drums when I was in a band, and I'd sit behind the drum kit and I'd try and play 4/4 beats, and it would just fall to pieces. So I know exactly what you mean. And then you moved over to the UK, and then you moved back to Switzerland. So, Oliver, did you remain in Switzerland at this time, or were you in the UK as well?
No, I was in that time in Switzerland. And yeah, when Nicky came back to Switzerland, he was really, he really wanted to do this band thing. And for me, from the beginning, was clear, I want to be a part from this project, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. One question I always ask, because I'm fairly certain I've spoken to acts before. Now, we're getting toward like 80 to 90 episodes now, so my memory is slightly hazy sometimes when it comes to people I've spoken to. But what's the dynamic like with yourself working with like a family member versus sort of like just another musician? How does that dynamic work? Is it, I mean, how do you butt heads a lot, or is it quite like a free-flowing process? What does that look like? What does the dynamic look like between the two of you when it comes to songwriting and production?
What do you think?
The dynamic, I mean, yeah, most times it's really flowing well in a really, how can I say this, positive vibe. But sometimes, you know, brothers, sometimes you have also a bit differences. yeah, I think this is then a bit maybe a bit different if if you work with other people, there is a bit more distance, right? So yeah, can be sometimes. How can I say?
I mean, we had some very weird stuff going on. I mean, I have to be honest. We already were telling Rainer some stories about it, but you know, that's true. I mean, I also remember, for instance, when we went to the States, you know, making some music videos. We often had, you know, two or three other guys, you know, friends, for instance, helping us, and the distance with those guys were a lot, you know, bigger. So if you had an issue, you were addressing the issue a lot different than if I had something with Oliver. Yeah. So, and sometimes, yeah, to be honest with you, we were shouting at each other in Swiss German, and the other guys, they were just standing there very confused. But, you know, probably from the outside, it looks a lot like, damn, these guys, you know, they're almost fighting now or whatever. It's, you know, it probably sounds heavier than it actually is, because as brothers, you know each other for a very long time, and you know, you have a discussion, but then you move on. So you know, it can be a little bit tricky sometimes, but overall it's, and as well, on the top of that, we're getting older and we have our goal in focus, right? So then everything else doesn't matter anymore so much. So yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And it's almost, because I've got a younger brother and he's not musical. So he doesn't, we don't sort of bounce off each other with musical ideas. But I remember growing up, we hated each other when we grew up. And then we got older and then that sort of relationship changes. I remember because I'm the older brother, when my parents weren't around, I would just do wrestling moves on him all the time.
Same here.
All the time. I used to put him in figure four leg locks and all this sort of stuff. And then he'd go crying. I'd be like, oh, I didn't do anything. But that's a dynamic we have. But what I find is, though, I think when you have that sort of family relationship, you can be honest and you can be, you can remove that filter, which is quite nice, which sometimes I think when you're working with musicians, you have to be more diplomatic, I think, sometimes, because you don't have that long-standing relationship. So I imagine that's really, really nice. One thing you mentioned there, which I really want to dig into, is because I mentioned this off air, was about music videos. So you went to the States, you mentioned then. So did you go to the States just to record the music videos? Can you tell us a bit, our audience, a bit about that journey? What took you to the States and what did you do there?
Once again, I was actually in the States for some time. So and then I was really digging the vibe over there as well, like the UK, both places I quite like. Maybe the States, at least California, is a little bit, you know, weather-wise, it's a little bit better than the UK in some parts.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, anyway, but I like both places equally. And so, you know, it's just, you know, that you have so many fantastic places over there. And obviously, Switzerland, you know, is a very small place. And it's always like, you know, if you want to shoot a music video over here, there is always something in the way. So, for instance, you know, you go to some hill, but right, you know, behind there is, I don't know, some house or whatever. So in the States, obviously, you have a lot more space and just beautiful countryside. And obviously, Los Angeles, you know, we have, you know, gorgeous rooftops and just cool places and streets and whatever. So that's just a place of inspiration for us. So we thought, hey, why not? And we have, you know, some friends over there. So it's easier to stay.
Yeah, and I think also that the people in the in California, especially Los Angeles, if you film something, you stay around with a camera, some people, yeah, they don't really care, or they like it because it's, everybody's filming there something.
yeah, that's true.
In Switzerland, you make something, after 2 minutes, the first one is coming to ask what you are doing here. I mean, yeah.
I mean, I remember back in Switzerland, we wanted to shoot something in a garage, a big garage of a shopping mall. So we were filming about 2 minutes and then someone was asking for permit, right? So I had to write to the head of this shopping mall so that what we actually were going to do. But we ended up filming in Switzerland. But, you know, anyway. But in the States, for instance, we had an overnight in a motel And it looked really like cheap, but really cool. So we were asking the guy behind the bar, you know, do you mind if we shoot something here? No, why not? And it's great. And and he actually wanted to be in front of the camera as well. So people there, obviously, due to the whole movie business, they are much more used to it. Yeah.
We'll be right back.
So I've got a hunch about a common struggle we all face, mastering. If you're an independent artist or music producer, you've probably encountered the frustration of masters that just don't hit the mark, right? They lack balance and refuse to play nicely across different devices and environments. Ever found yourself wondering, why don't my masters sound like my references? Perhaps you've spent countless hours attempting to master your tracks only to be unsatisfied with the results. Maybe you've tried every silver bullet plugin or even dabbled in AI. Or perhaps you're already working with an engineer but you're eager to explore different possibilities. Well, here's the solution you've been searching for, Synth Music Mastering. I'm offering a game-changing opportunity with a one-time free test master for a limited time. Picture elevating your music with my unwavering commitment to quality and a personalized touch that you just don't get with the big mastering studios. The best part, it won't cost you a penny. Just submit your finished mix and let's see how we can transform your music together. Don't let mastering be a mystery any longer. Say goodbye to the frustration and step into a world of sonic excellence. Grab your free test master now. Click the link in the episode description or head over to synthmusicmastering.com. Yeah, I can imagine. And your music videos are great. And I know exactly what you mean, whereby in the UK and like Switzerland, because I remember shooting music videos when I was in a band and we did it on an abandoned airfield. And as soon as we started shooting, some guy turns up in his beat up white van. And he's like, what are you doing? And they were just shooting a music video. And he's like, well, have you asked? And it's like, well, there's no one around. Like, but it was his land ultimately. But I get what you mean. In the States, I think there's probably a different mindset, as you say, that everybody wants to be on camera. Well, not everyone, but there's a clamor to be on camera there, which is quite interesting. Your music videos are quite varied as well. Like, they're really, really good. So the one you did with Pensacola Mist, where it's quite mountainous. And then She's Apocalyptic, where you've got this sort of, if I remember rightly, it's what's in the video for that one? I can't remember now. Is Godzilla or is it King Kong?
It's got both,
yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, King Kong. And then there's another one. Is it Love Lockdown? I think it's that one, whereby there's like a chase sequence, or you're more of in a forest sort of area. I think it's that one.
With the dog.
Yeah. That's the one. How do you choose the concepts for the video? Does it mirror the music? Do you take influence for the music, or is it just sort of like, this is a cool idea, let's run with this?
Good question. Because, you know, prior to the Martin Brothers stuff with the glasses and everything, we were slightly on a different track, right? More like EDM stuff. And it was more aesthetic. But then soon we got bored with it because, you know, just walking around and, you know, filming nice pictures. It's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, we thought just maybe go for something a little bit more, has more meat on it, right? So when we actually started off, we had some kind of funny elements in it. I mean, we still have some funny elements in it. But then we just, I guess there are a couple of different styles, or more than just a couple, but to shoot a music video, and we were heading more in the direction into like actually giving some story parts, or, you know, including some parts of kind of a story in it. So that's why we, you know, were thinking maybe of a chase scene or something else. And on the top of it, Oliver and myself, we don't sing, right? If you have a singer, it's probably a lot easier because you just have the singer sing somewhere nice and that's it. And you don't need a story. But, you know, with us, you probably have to add something on, yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes in the music writing process, you already have something, an idea in the head for a music video. Especially Nicky, sometimes he comes, he say, "You have a new demo and already an idea for a video clip." Yeah,
just to give you one slide, like I was coming up with a Christmas song just a few weeks ago, and I gave him a title, as you talked about it in your producers podcast with all the other producers. How do you, you know, what title do you give your demo? So, and it was Far Away Christmas. And I was already thinking of a story like, oh, you know what would be cool for a video? Oliver in Switzerland, you know, making music here. And I am on an island somewhere. I was thinking of an island. And then in, you know, hot summer day, right, with the palm trees and everything. And I can't catch a flight in time to make production here in Switzerland. So we are far away from each other. And so, and I already had a picture of a video going on. So let's see if we're going to go with this idea or not. But as Oliver just mentioned, sometimes it even helps for, you know, for writing music. If you have kind of some, you know, pictures in front of you, how it might sound like or actually looks like. And this also gives you kind of a atmosphere of the song. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really good point, and I really like that. And I like the fact, A, that you're doing a Christmas song, and I can't wait for that.
Gonna go
for B, yeah, you've said it now, so it's got to happen.
Yeah.
And B, that you visualize the music video, and then you're sort of using that to influence the songwriting. And it's something that I do, and I've spoken to other producers and artists as well, when you have like creative block or something, I'll search out, if I've got an idea, a rough idea, I'll go find some video and then I'll compose the video. And it sort of helps me songwrite if I'm stuck. So I totally get that and it totally makes sense. But I'm definitely looking forward to a Christmas song. I think that'd be great. One thing you mentioned, which I think would be really interesting to talk about, and a nice little segue here, was about you say that you neither of you sing and your sister doesn't sing, so you get singers in. Now, I mentioned Pensacola Mist, so you've done a song with them. We're going to touch on that song in a bit because it's fantastic and I really want to talk about it. But how do you find your singers? How does that process work? Do you have an idea in mind of the singer you want? Or do you sort of get people to audition vocals? You tell us, how does it work? How do you find singers? Because they are brilliant singers.
Thanks, appreciate that. Do you want to go?
It's always difficult because the singer we want, they always say no. They don't, no, I'm joking.
Martin Brothers, who are those guys? Better not.
I'm joking. Yeah, we listen a lot of music, and then you hear a singer and you say, oh, this one would be really fit well with our music, and then you ask. Mm. And of course, sometimes you have to live with that somebody say no, he's not interested.
And also a lot of coincidences, right? Because with the Pensacola Mist stuff, we actually were reaching out by accident to Melissa, which is the girl singer, right? And then, because with the Heart to Heart, we thought we need like kind of a vocal that sounds oriental, and she sounded oriental to us. So we were asking her for a song. Then she said, oh, all right, I'm actually quite interested. Who are you guys? But let me talk to the guys I'm working with. And then, okay, who is this? Pensacola Mist. So we ended up with Pensacola Mist. And Pensacola Mist, Oliver, he's also singing. The Pensacola Mist, Oliver. So we ended with another singer. So most often it's kind of a coincidence. Also, we had a singer here. We had a song, Never Dance Alone, which we still have to do something with it because we still love it. And we had a singer here from the UK, and that was via internet. How is it? Yeah. SoundBetter or whatever. Like you have all those platforms, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we were writing on SoundBetter, and then he was actually here in Switzerland writing stuff, and then he had like, it's a great song, but I don't know what lyrics I should write to it. Let me call a guy I know from Atlanta. So he called some one guy from Atlanta in the States, and this guy heard the song and said, hey, that's cool. I quite like that song. So, and then we ended up doing Champion, which was another song with this guy. So, you know, you always have to try to connect with other people. That's probably also the advice I could give, and something we try always to just go out there, talk to people, ask someone, do you want to sing with, you know, for this song? And you might end up with someone completely else, which, you know, fits.
Yeah, it's a great piece of advice that, and it's something that I've been doing of late, because I think when I've released music previously, I've used platforms like SoundBetter and vocalizers another one. Because I think if you want to get something done quick, they're great. Specifically vocalizer, you can put something on there. I don't know if you've used it. And then within a week, you can have a top line back. And also with the lyrics as well. But I'm now sort of, like you guys, branching out more and making those connections and actually reaching out to singers to collaborate more. I think, I don't know about you, but it is a longer process, I find.
Yeah, it's true.
How do you, so it is, isn't it? Yeah, there's a, how do you manage that back and forth of ideas? Do you just send them an instrumental and then they sort of riff over it and then you back and forth? Or are the singers more involved in the arrangement as well? How does that work?
Yeah, most times we send a complete finish demo and then they make the top line. Yes, most times like that. Yeah.
Most often, yes. And as you just mentioned, that's also a very good point. It usually takes longer if you get someone, you know, aside from a professional platform where people used to work fast and very professionally. But as the song is called Heart to Heart, it's more a hard thing then, because those people, they write music for themselves. They want to be maybe the next weekend or whatever. They have dreams. They are in their living room, right, writing music, working their butts off. So, and you want those guys, because we obviously we can't get the weekend. I mean, we would love to work with him, but you know, we're just not a big enough number. So you're gonna go and search for those like raw diamonds, right?
Yes.
And usually yep. when you work with raw diamonds, they perhaps don't have as much experience as someone else. So it takes a little bit longer, but usually pays out at the end, because they just give more heart into the work. And it's all about emotions. I probably get to that point later on, but it's just all about emotions. That's one thing manager told me once, and it's all about emotions. So you want a singer. It doesn't matter if he has a high or a low voice, or he has, or if he has a great voice, or maybe not so great voice. I mean, of course, it has needs to be a certain level, but then you want something special, and you only get that with emotions, with real emotions. And if we have someone from a platform who's doing a great job, but it doesn't deliver the right emotions, you perhaps have great vocals, but they're just not good enough for, you know, maybe a big hit. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic advice. No, and I totally agree. Because it's when you, I think for want of a better way of putting it, it can also, it can almost be seen like a conveyor belt. I can imagine if you're a top liner and you're doing reasonably well on one of those platforms, it's just like, right, I've got this song, I'll knock this one out today, I'll knock this one out today, I'll knock this one out today. And you just go on like that. Whereas like you say, if you find that diamond in the rough that you can work with and you can sort of help shape and that vocal and go back and forth. And it's that emotion as well, isn't it? Because if they're right, I don't know how you do it, but if they're writing the lyrics as well, they're going to have a connection to that. So I totally agree with that. And it's great advice, because I know a lot of the audience listening are in that position whereby they are reaching out and networking and trying to find vocalists. So it's great to hear that, because the caliber of vocalists that you have are fantastic. And that it also is a relatively lengthy process for you as well. So I think that's probably going to be quite reassuring for a lot of the audience listening. It certainly is for me, because I've noticed it is a lot longer process. But it's one of those things. I think what would be really cool now to dive into is actually the songwriting and sort of compositional side of things. So when you have an idea, do you create music independently and then bring it together? Or do you sort of say, right, we're going to work on a song and start writing together in the same space? How does the songwriting process work for you guys?
If I have an idea, I go with AI, I type in make a great pop song, and then
yeah.
No, we don't do it that way. Yeah. Luckily not.
I bet that will happen to
some.
I bet
that will probably soon gonna happen, yeah. Right? No, you go. I mean, I can add something.
Yeah, we do it no, not together. I mean, if Nicky has an idea, or then he make the demo to the point that it's nearly finished, and then maybe the detail work we make then together. Yeah, it's most times like that. We don't sit together and make a song from scratch. Everybody have his ideas. You know, everybody have his own influences a bit. Sometimes you can hear maybe that one of the song is more from from Nikki or more from one of my ideas, because we don't have exactly the same music influences, I would say. Yeah,
definitely. And you know what's kind of strange, but I always go back to that point for some reason. And Oliver is actually really good. I mean, that's one of his points he really gets all the time when I listen to his songs. Like, I always look for something, and it's strangely enough, it's always, or it's a lot of times in percussion, drums, percussion, you look for that something special, right? Because I can start off with a song, go for three or four chords, right? And have a chord coordination, and then maybe I'm going to go for a song tempo, or maybe have a song in the back of my head, where, you know, I think, okay, I want to go for something like a dance song. So it's going to have, it needs to be maybe 128 BPM or even faster, whatever. But for me, the song always comes to life if it has that two or three ingredients I need to hear that separates that demo from just an ordinary one, which you probably don't follow later on because it's just not good enough or not interesting enough. And so you need that, like, and a lot of the times I find myself, it's not always, but it's, of course, you know, we have maybe a special synth sound, which you really like, or a bass, a bass you quite like, but it's the percussions most often that I think, oh, okay, that kind of, you know, hi-hat or whatever gives me the feeling of, I mean, like, I go back to the Christmas song, right? You need some kind of really cool, what's the name for it?
Like Christmas bells.
Christmas bells and everything, yeah. But you don't want too much. So you're going to go look for that one special thing that fits to the Martin Brothers music, right? Something which isn't too cheesy, but, you know, still has some coolness in it, but, you know, drives the song good enough. And, you know, so for me, when I go for a song, I always look for those two or three ingredients the song needs to have. And if the song doesn't have those ingredients, I usually don't even finish the song. Yeah.
Interesting. Do you have, does the Martin Brothers have like a signature? Because you mentioned bass, percussion and synths. Do you have like a signature synth sound that underpins all your songs? Is there like a concurrent like bass sound in all of them? Or are they all different textures in each song?
It's a good question. I don't really think so, because if I just think of, you know, someone, I don't know, Martin Garrix, perhaps EDM. I don't know for sure, but, you know, I most often think, you know, they probably going to go for it, or Swedish House Mafia, for instance, they're going to go for that certain kick they want. I think we probably are a lot more diverse. I'm not saying by all means, not better, anything, just different. We're going to have a lot of different kicks and stuff because it's more like pop music, synth pop, right? Electro pop, we end up usually. So we're, you know, there's quite a variety of music or sounds we have. So we don't really have a signature sound or synth, for instance. I mean, perhaps sometimes if you go for an album, then you have maybe one synth that you work more often than with another one, because it just, you know, happens that you go for a song and you quite like it and you go for a second or a third one. But it's actually quite different, but it's hard to describe, but it's just, for instance, with the Martin Brothers, we don't want to go for songs that are too happy. Just, you know, very simple. We just don't want to go with songs that are too cheesy and too happy. It's not us. And we also don't want to go with songs that are too dark. It's probably not, I mean, you know, nothing without an exception, right? But so you start to exclude stuff you don't like or you think it's just not right for you. So we're probably somewhere in the middle where we want to have some nostalgic, melancholic influences, but also some vibes and stuff that is good enough to dance to, for instance. Yeah. That's,
yeah, I think what gives maybe a bit or makes a bit the Martin Brothers sound is maybe the combination from Nikki and what I'm doing, because, yeah, as I said before, we don't have exactly the same style. And I think when these two styles comes together, this gives the Martin Brothers sound then on the end of the day, yeah.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, sometimes Oliver is maybe a little bit too much R&B, so we're not going to go for that because it's just too much R&B. It's probably music he would do when he writes, if he would be an act on his own, right? But he is not. And myself, maybe sometimes I would go for something a little bit more, even more cheesy or, you know, very party-driven. But then it's just not us, it's just me. And we don't want to make music for the Nicky Martin, right? We want to go for Martin Brothers. So somewhere in the middle, that's actually a good point. Where we meet, that's the sweet spot, I would say so.
Yeah, you're kind of bringing the two worlds together and then finding what meshes together. And like one of you is able to pull the other one back and vice versa and stop you going too far in one direction. What you mentioned there was really interesting about how you wanted to not sound cheesy or too happy, but at the same, and you wanted to sound quite melancholic, but not too melancholic. And I think that's why your music stood out to me so much, because it is something that appeals to me in songwriting, coming with, because I've got a metal background, but I like electronic music and hip hop and some pop music as well. But I like that darker edge to music. And that's why your music stood out to me, I think, It's interesting that you mentioned that there. One thing I was going to ask you, is something. This is a conversation I've had with a number of producers now on the podcast and also in the producer's pub, which is about arrangement and space in the arrangement. And I was listening to, I can't remember if it was a podcast or I read an article about space in arrangements and leaving space for vocals. When it comes to your songwriting and arrangement and composition, for want of a better way of putting it, how much do you have going on at any one time? Are you quite sort of minimalist in your approach to sound designs and augmenting sounds? How does that look when you're songwriting? I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. Totally sense. I mean, can I only say that Oliver is definitely more minimalistic than I am. I most often go for too much. I write music and then, I have this melody and I have this melody. Once again, go back to the Christmas song. So many melodies going on over there. But I'm probably going to have, throw away some of them because you can't go with too many melodies per one song, right? Oliver, on the other hand, sometimes is going to go for a really cool beat. Once again, he's going to go for that sweet percussion, which gives the song a certain style. But then I have to admit, sometimes for my taste, that the chorus drops in and it maybe stays a little bit flat. And now I have to make a little announcement. After that, I give it back to you. So he just recently made a song, which I personally think is killer. He came up with the chords and everything. He added the sweet percussion I was looking for. But the chorus wasn't too big enough. So I added a synth, which was like space, but space kind of, I gave it the space it needed, right? But with a huge synth. So now we ended up with the song, and this is a song we want to go and apply for Eurovision 2024. So that's just a little announcement. Amazing. I have to make. So anyway, we just want to go for a bigger crowd. It's going to be very difficult, but we, going to go for a singer right now, looking for singers and want to go for Eurovision 2024. But just going back to that song, space is good. You need space for a song. You can't go in a pop song or whatever synth pop song. You can't go with too many items or synth at once. But, you need something that lifts, for instance, a chorus, and then perhaps you have to add a little something.
Yes. It's like that.
Sorry, now you go. I have to talk too much, but anyway. Good question, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because it mirrors a lot of the answers that I've had from other guests and when I've been talking to various people on Instagram and whatnot. Because it's a common thread. And I was talking to, I think it was... Yeah, it was an artist called Drew Knight who's laying down some vocals for a track of mine, and he mentioned the exact same thing. And this is a quite good question, actually. How do you make sure that you leave enough space for a vocal? Because you mentioned there about having space where you got synths, you've got your percussion, you've got your bass, and everything else going on. And when you're doing that in a silo, you're doing that, a vacuum's one of a better way of putting it. How do you make sure that you leave enough space for the vocalist to then sing on top? Do you ever get vocalists coming back and saying, actually, can you remove that element so I can have more space to breathe, if that makes sense?
It happened, but just one thing to add. I think it's actually was you, Mark, that said that in the producer's podcast, but I can't remember clearly enough. Sometimes go the other way around. If you think something is too much, take even away more. Let's see how that sounds, right? Sometimes if you think something is not loud enough, make it, take it away entirely or make it louder, but don't go. That's a mistake we made in the past. Called the mixing engineer. Can you do it 2 dB louder or 3 or 4 or 5? Or just go for 12 dBs. Make it twice as loud or three times as loud. So this is always a good, or for me sometimes a good way of finding out if something is too much or not enough, if you just go to a certain extreme, you know, and then you maybe find out, oh, actually that part actually works without that synth at all. And sometimes, oh no, now I've taken away, it's completely lifeless, we need that synth, but now we have to make it louder. I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, it does make sense, yeah. Yeah. And I think you're exactly right. I think taking elements away, I know I've done that in mixes before, where, and I've said this to a few producers as well, because I do this producer kickstart where it's a case of, like, if something's not working, just go through all the elements in your mix and mute it. And if it doesn't make a noticeable difference, just can it and just get it gone. Because all of that content, that frequency content, is eating to the headroom and the dynamic range that you have ultimately. And if it's not contributing, just get rid of it. But I remember when I started out and I was producing and mixing, and I would have like 40, 50 tracks, and I'd have like, I'd have synth on top of synth on top of synth, and I'd be like, yeah, this sounds great. Mm. And then I might look at the meter and it's just all over the shop.
Yeah. Know that feeling.
I remember one mixing engineer, we asked if he can make a mix. He said, yeah, sure. Sent the stems, right? And we sent him the stems, was I don't know how many, but then he said he's now not able to make the mix anymore.
Right? I remember that one, yeah.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, it's interesting, but I get approached by people to mix, and now I get more people telling me how many stems they have. I don't ask, but I get more people now telling me, they've sort of like, I've got this track and it's got 20 stems. I've got this track and it's got 24. I've got this. I'm like, actually, that's quite an important bit of information, because then I know what I'm dealing with before it kicks in.
Oh, actually, the same with vocals. Very important. Usually, as less vocal stems we get, as better the vocals are. If you're really good singers, you maybe send a couple of lines, right? That's enough. And you listen to it, blows you away. And usually, with the people, can be a raw diamond, right? It doesn't mean, you know, he's not a good singer, but sometimes raw diamonds, they're going to send you about 20 lines of vocals, right? So, and about 15 of them you don't need, because it just takes up space, but, you know, it doesn't really do anything to the song, right? But just they want to be on a safe side, and they just add, you know, a lot of harmonies and a lot of blah, 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 blah. It's just going to be too much. And you just go back and say, okay, actually, we'll listen to that line. We quite like that one. Can you repeat that twice? Just with a little bit more energy, maybe a little bit more dynamics, and you get it back, and, you know, you don't need all the rest.
Yeah, it's very good. Very good point. And it actually makes me remember, I cannot remember the mix engineer, but it was quite an established mix engineer. And it might have been like a TikTok video or something like that. And he was saying how when he has stems sent to him, and if a vocals in particular, if it's just, like you mentioned there, a whole raft of different takes, he would then respond saying, you need to render these out in one, because I'm not going through and editing all that. And I think in doing that, if you're the producer and the vocalist, then you could pretty much be able to go through and say, actually, I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't need that. Because I have had it where you've had, like, there's been a whole raft of vocal and I'm like, oh man, I got to go in and edit it. I mean, you've got Vocal Line now where you can pull it all into time and stuff, but it's still long-winded. And like you say, I think sometimes it doesn't really add a massive amount. And I think, like, once again, echoing what you said about vocalists, if they are high caliber vocalist, a decent standard, then yeah, they can usually knock it out on fewer tracks.
I can only add one little thing, because with Martin Brothers beats drums, because we're producing the drums our own, right? We're gonna go for electronic drums, drum kits, but we had some live gigs with a really very talented Japanese drummer. Yuchi is his name. Shout out to him. But you know, I remember rehearsing with Yuchi, and like we obviously sometimes we went with drums, Oliver as well, almost impossible for, you know, to play for human beings. So like, you know, 2 weeks before the gig, like he was like sweating his ass off. We're like, hey, you know, you just play that beat, you know, guys, but it's, you know, it's a lot of lines, right? But then we said, okay, all right, you're right. So let's keep it simple. So, and everything in that beat, which was not needed really, you know, he left, right? Left out. He played maybe a straight eight and then like this break, which we really liked. And then ended up sounding so good live that we actually went back to the mix and threw away a lot of the drum stuff. Yeah. So live, playing live can also give you sometimes a good idea of if something is too much or not. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And when it comes to drum programming, and I know I do this because I've said this on the podcast a few times, that like drum programming isn't my most fun task. I do it and it has to be done. But I find it sometimes I'm doing it and I'm thinking, actually, am I creating something? Is this actually plausible as a drum beat? I mean, does this make sense? Like, I mean, so my question then was going to be, what can sort of elevate? Because you mentioned earlier about percussion and how percussion can make a track and propel it forward. What is it about? What takes a standard sort of drum beat and then propels it to a higher caliber drum beat? And at what point does it get too much?
It's a good question. Yeah, when I make a beat, I just try to search for something that is special. And sometimes maybe you cannot find it, or it's a more standard beat. And I don't know, how can I say? I just let my fantasy going on. I don't know, it's difficult to say.
You're living in a fantasy world, man.
Yeah, no, it's like difficult to say. I mean... try some things. Yeah, I mean, of course, not every beat I make ends up with. Sometimes I have to throw it away and start from scratch again because.
Maybe an advice could be, but you know, I mean, I'm not some sort of a teacher or anything, but advice could be sometimes go for two or three elements, I say, percussion wise. Don't go for too many. Just find a group. Find a group that fits. That's what I was talking earlier. Oliver usually, maybe it's his natural, finds a group of percussion that works as such. He has two or three elements. Those three elements repeat throughout the whole song. It's not saying that it's boring because he has maybe one or two additional elements that only appear in a song once or twice or at the very end. But you need to have, he was going, it's we're actually coming up with a song called Paralyzed. It's maybe going to be our second Halloween special. Oliver was digging the hole for that song. So, and he had like one or two or three percussion stuff, and one was like, oh, like, you know, but with reverb on it, right? So it sounds scary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So for me, it's maybe not a typical percussion stuff, but that appears throughout the whole song and gives me the mood of a Halloween song, like kind of. That's what I think of the percussions, right? So you need these elements which gives the song a certain style or feel. And sometimes also, maybe if you have a percussion that doesn't really work, you just leave it there and maybe try to add or take out some parts of the percussion, make it less, but then add a lot more reverb. And maybe you get something special because we had a song called, well, I can't remember. Anyway, but we had a great singer and that song turned out to be a lot bigger because I was just removing some percussion and was adding a lot of reverb to just two of them. And then you got it. Then I had that feeling I wanted. It was a very sad song, kind of. So I wanted that deep breath of a percussion. Yeah.
Very good advice. I like what you say there about having three main elements as well and limiting that, because it's almost like you could have three elements and you can really go to town on those elements, like you say, with reverb and other time-based processing to really sculpt the sound and make something different, rather than thinking, I've got three elements, it needs to sound different. I'll add another. No, it's still not quite right. I'll add another. And oh, no, it's still not there. I'll add another and just keep going on like that. And then you fall into that trap we mentioned just now, is where you've got this infinite raft of tracks going on, rather than actually you're not getting to the crux of the problem, which is either it probably doesn't work to begin with, or you need to work with what you have and work within those confines of those three elements. Now, fantastic advice. Gents, we're fast approaching sort of 50 minutes. And I did mention at the beginning that I wanted to dig a touch into the song Heart to Heart. So that is the song that we've mentioned with Pentacolumist, so Melissa on vocals. And I'm fairly certain I'm scheduled to talk to them again in a month or so's time on the podcast. So this conversation will probably repeat with them, which would be cool. Audience listening, if you haven't checked it out yet, check out the music video, because it's a fantastic video. First question is, where was the video shot for that one? Was that in the States?
No. Isle of Skye in Scotland. One of the most beautiful places on earth. It's like a dinosaur island.
It is a beautiful, beautiful video. And then I realized then when I said the States, I thought to myself, actually, that's quite a lot to get you all flying over to the States to record a video and then coming back. Yeah.
But actually, it was funny because it takes you. Do you remember how the actual place was called? Do you remember the place
On Isle of Skye?
Yes.
Old Man of Store, right?
Old Man of Store. Okay, yeah. So it takes about 45 minutes to get up there, and we had guitars. I mean, the guys from Pentacolumist had guitars and everything with them. We had synthesizers and stuff. So actually arriving that place up there, we were all out of breath, right? Was like, and the Oliver, myself, we were scouting the place one day before, because obviously we don't, had endless holidays before. And so we had only day before. And the day before, it was actually snowing up there. It was so freezing cold.
Oh. Yeah.
But the day we were shooting, the sun was out and it was a lot. I mean, it was still cold in the morning, but then, it got actually to a temperature which was okay to film. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a beautiful location. As soon as you mentioned Scotland there, I immediately thought you must have been very cold if it's up there. I mean, it's the UK is pretty cold as it is. I live in the south, in the southwest, and we're considered to be like the more tropical region of the UK. So the further north you go, the colder it gets. So yeah, I can imagine it was. So that song itself, before we wrap things up here, it's got a particular sound to it. How would you describe sort of like the sound aesthetic to that song? Because you've got like what I believe there are like pan flutes going on in there. Correct me if I'm wrong.
As well.
So how would you describe the sound? What was your idea when you were writing it?
I think it was a bit like you wanted to make something with Asian China touch, right? And I think he's a bit inspired by, what was the name from this?
Alphaville.
Alphaville, yeah.
Definitely like with the rumbling bass, kind of like we wanted to have something similar. But then, as it usually is, like we ended up with something completely else. But Melissa, she was like, I think she was writing lyrics with the two guys from Pentacolumist, and like they're like hugely, huge talents, so they came up with this really cool lyrics which has that like kind of Japanese theme, and it was at one of those songs, because actually there was a re-recording of her vocals and we didn't go with the whole re-recording, which is staying with the ones she was recording somewhere else, because those were the initial song recordings. And that's what I say most often, a singer, if he goes with the initial recording is most often the best one, because then she was really singing from her heart to heart, right? So, but it was a lot of fun. And actually, we were just looking for something, for a mystical place to shoot.
Yeah, fantastic. I know what you mean there about with vocals and capturing vocals, because I remember when I've recorded vocals in the past, and I would always record, even when they were like warming up.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I would always record, because you never know what you're going to capture. So it's a fantastic piece of advice, because I think the more you sing something, the less... This is coming from me, actually. Probably I'm not a vocalist, but I guess the more you sing it, maybe the less, certainly in one sitting, the less emotion, I guess, you'll have. Maybe, for want of a better way of putting it, the more you repeat something, it becomes a bit mundane. So capturing it in the first few takes, I think, is ideal. But it's easy for me to say. I'm not a vocalist. Where a vocalist would probably be like, have you ever tried actually singing and recording it? It's quite hard.
I think if we want to go and record this interview right now again, it probably doesn't make that much fun, right? Because then you're just repeating exactly. And trying to make it as funny as before, but it just doesn't really work. I'm not saying maybe we're gonna go for a second one. It's a lot better, right? You never know. But
after the Christmas song,
you never know. Yeah. But usually, you have those initial emotions. As you repeat that, it probably takes away a little bit of that magic from the first moment. Mm. It's like the first kiss, right?
Yeah, very true. Yeah, yeah. Getting very philosophical there. Yeah, 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 yeah. I would agree with that. Yeah. It's like in a relationship, isn't it? You got that honeymoon period. I won't say anymore in case
Don't go down that road. It's better than ever before right now.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is. She's fantastic. I'll give her that. She supports me in my musical endeavors.
Yeah, all right. That's cool.
And she has to listen to my music even though she doesn't like it. I'm sure she does. Anyway, before I dig myself in a deeper hole... Gents, we're coming to the end now. So where can our audience find you online? Where's the best place to go to listen to your music, watch your music videos, etc.? I'll put this in the show notes as well.
Yeah, I think the usual things, YouTube, Spotify, our homepage, Instagram. That's it, right?
Yeah. www.martinbrothersmusic.com. Don't go for www.martinbrothers.com. It's something else. Add the music and you get there.
Excellent stuff. Brilliant. And I always say this to artists. You mentioned there about a possible Christmas song and possibly Halloween one. And you mentioned Eurovision 2024. Have you got any key dates or any releases or anything you want to give a shout out to on a podcast? Anything coming up?
I mean, it's been very, very, very quiet for the last few weeks. We have to admit that we're going to definitely going to go and post more on Instagram now. We have about 20 songs right now. So we were not, chilling and doing nothing. We have about 20 songs right now. We already have some recorded with vocals, but we just want to take enough time. And also we don't want to make the mistake, or it's not actually a mistake, but we don't want to go for, first, second, third, fourth album. You want to go and try something else. You always have to go somewhere else in your life from time to time. And I think Eurovision, 5 years back someone asked us to go for Eurovision. We thought, I don't know. But now actually we thought, why not? Let's go for it. Try to make a stylish geek, but obviously it's not that easy, but it's just something we want to try. Let's see.
Fantastic. I will I won't lie, I don't usually watch you.
yeah
however, if you guys were involved, I certainly would. I think it's in the UK this year as well.
Yeah, we're too late for that one.
yeah it's in Liverpool, I think.
Okay.
Saying that, if I got an invite to go for the podcast or something, I'd be like, I'll go along. Yeah, happy days. but I'll look out for that. I love that idea. And I think it'd be great. And I think it'd be fantastic. Brilliant. Gents, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for joining me on this Sunday. I really enjoyed this. Fantastic music. Audience, go check out their back catalogue and the music videos and whatnot, because it is fantastic. Also, check out Let's Talk Synth Seriously as well with UAP, because there's another interview there with the gents as well, if you want to learn even more. And gentlemen, really big thank you today.
Our
thank you very
pleasure.
Much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for having us. Yeah.
It's been brilliant. I'll speak to you soon. Whoa! Before you go, make sure to snag your free test master from Synth Music Mastering. Imagine enhancing your music with my steadfast dedication to quality and that personalized touch. And here's the kicker, it's absolutely free, no cost at all. Simply head over to synthmusicmastering.com or click the link in the episode description to claim your free test master.